The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, June 19th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Heartland Sees Budget Imbalance, by Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College can expect a balanced budget for the next fiscal year, the board heard this week. But it will continue to be prepared for possible shortfalls in revenue in coming years. Noah Lamb, Vice President of Finance and Administration at Heartland, said on Tuesday he anticipates a balanced budget of about $45.2 million in the Education Fund and Operations and Maintenance Fund, which are the college's two principal operating funds. This is a 1% increase from the final fiscal 2025 budget, which is $44.7 million. The tentative budget for the year starting July 1, 2025, assumes a 10.5% increase in local support through property taxes and a 1% increase in base state support. Expenses are expected to increase due to salary raises and adjustments, insurance premium hikes, and inflation, Lamb said. The board last month approved a 13.8% increase, $666,042, to employee insurance premium renewals for next year, for a total cost of $5,494,382. Lamb said for fiscal 2027 and beyond, the college projects overall deficits of more than $4 million annually, but this is without knowing revenue streams from future equity tax rates, state support, and student enrollment. The equity tax is a levy that allows Heartland to bring itself into line with other community colleges in the state. Don't let the red numbers scare you. We as an organization will continue to work through those, but we are always trying to be conservative and think about those what-ifs, Lamb said. As we think about fiscal year 2026 and beyond, it starts to decrease based on those projections. Again, that will change as we work through future budgets. The board also approved a property and casualty insurance coverage renewal for fiscal 2026, representing a $44,306 or 9% increase from last year's coverage. According to board documents, the board voted to change the college's primary insurance carrier in fiscal 2021 to Illinois Country Risk Management Trust. The change provided better coverage, services, and overall more cost-effective rates for property and casualty as well as liability coverage, officials said. The fiscal 2026 premium for the commercial package is $538,232 as compared to the fiscal 2025 amount of $493,926. The increase in premium costs is due to various factors, including a $107,130 increase in the value of college-owned vehicles during fiscal 2025 due to the purchase of a van and the replacement of two public safety vehicles. Property coverage values also increased by 2%, workers' compensation overage rates increased by 4%, and the general liability premium rate increased by 8%, reflecting an increase across the industry at large. In addition, the board approved contracts for both Lamb and Sarah Deal Hunt, Heartland Vice President of Enrollment and Student Services, effective July 1st and through June 30th, 2026. Deal Hunt will receive an annual base compensation of $183,467, and Lamb will receive an annual base compensation of $175,003. And here is another Heartland story headlined, "Heartland Trustee Long Resigns," by Matus Janik. Normal. Heartland Community College trustee Cecilia Long announced Tuesday she will resign from the board, effective Wednesday. "I'm so proud of the work I've been able to do with Heartland and the board to expand accessibility for students," said Long at the board's regular meeting at the Normal campus. "We have been able to grow programs or certifications that increase people's ability to get a higher wage job, which can allow a pathway to break through a cycle of generational poverty," she added. "It is also gratifying that we have been able to work with the administration on investments to benefit the college staff." Long, whose term expires in April 2029, said she is stepping down from the board to pursue professional and personal opportunities outside of the district. Long was elected to the board in 2021 to finish a 2-year term vacated by the death of Greg Chadwick. She was elected to a full 6-year term in 2023. "Cecilia has been a wonderful trustee serving District 540, said Board Chair Becky Robb. "Her experience and perspective have been valuable to all of us as we navigated new opportunities to serve the needs of students. We will miss her, but certainly wish her well." Before joining the board, Long served as a program developer at Heartland from 2017 to 2021, piloting and launching the college's Success Coaching Program. During the pandemic, starting in 2020, she worked with the administration to set up a crisis intake process and student emergency fund to help students struggling with barriers created by COVID-19. The board now has 60 days from May 18th to make an appointment to fill the seat until the next consolidated election in April 2027. Individuals interested in filling the vacancy may apply at Heartland's Executive Office in the Community Commons Building, Suite 2000, at 1500 West Robb Road, Normal. Applications must be submitted by noon, July 14th. Candidates must be at least 18 years old, a citizen of the United States, and reside within the state and District 540, for at least 1 year as of the election. And here is another Heartland College item entitled "Heartland Provost to Retire" by Drew Zimmerman. Normal. Rick Pierce, Provost and Vice President of Academic Affairs at Heartland Community College, will retire at the end of June. A reception honoring Pierce's 10 years of service will be at 3:30 p.m. Monday at the Greg Chadwick Community Boardroom on HCC's main campus on Robb Road in Normal. Pierce joined HCC in 2012 as Vice President of Learning and Student Success. He was named Provost in July 2019. Rick's 13 years of service at Heartland have been instrumental in helping the college grow, fostering the development of new programs of study, and bringing innovation to his various roles during his tenure, Heartland President Keith Corneal said in a news release. Following Pierce's retirement, Sarah Deal Hunt, Vice President of Enrollment and Student Services, will take on the leadership duties for academic affairs on an interim basis. The next local story is entitled "Woodford County Roadwork Goes On" by Steve Stein. Eureka, Woodford County residents are apparently satisfied with recently completed and ongoing major road projects. People have told me they think the County Highway 25 project was nicely done, and they're happy so far with the County Highway 13 project, County Board member Dave Meinhold said Tuesday during the board's monthly meeting. It was nice to hear that feedback, Meinhold said. 8 miles of County Highway 25, Santa Fe Trail, were resurfaced in two projects that cost about $1.5 million. The Tri-County Regional Planning Commission provided 70% of the funding for the projects. The rehabilitation of 1.5 miles of County Highway 13 south of Roanoke is nearly complete, according to Jim Bauman, chairman of the board's Road and Bridge Committee, in a report to the board Tuesday. Work continues on the road in Roanoke, including the upcoming demolition of a bridge, Bauman said, which could take place as early as the end of the month. The county has applied for $4 million in funding from the Illinois Department of Transportation for the final 2-mile section of County Highway 13 that needs to be done. The estimated cost of that project is $6.5 million. We're keeping our fingers crossed that we'll get that IDOT money, Bauman said. The county also has applied for IDOT funding to construct a bridge in Olio Township, Bauman said. The board approved two resolutions Tuesday regarding roadwork. A $24,950 contract for low bidder Otto Baum Company of Morton was approved to repair a deteriorating wing wall on a box culvert along County Highway 20 in the northeast corner of the county. Wing walls and the abutment for a bridge in County Highway 9 in Kansas Township are in need of repair. The board approved appropriating $300,000 in motor fuel tax funds for the project. Autumn Jones, chairperson of the County Offices Committee, reported Tuesday that her committee is closing in on the hiring of an IT technician for the county. Two candidates remain in the running, Jones said, and each will be offered a second interview. We hope to have a recommended hire at next month's board meeting, Jones said. County Zoning Administrator Deb Bryman will retire at the end of the year. Her position has been posted, said Nick Miller, chair of the Conservation Planning and Zoning Committee, and candidates will be interviewed in the second week of July. Salary range for the job is $50,000 to $60,000, depending on experience. Also Tuesday, the board approved the following appointments. Dennis McMurtry and Dave Finley to the Low Point Street Lighting District Board, Steve Hansen and Bryson Madden to the Oak Ridge Sanitary District Board, Jared Cull and Charles Cook to the Lynn Mount Vernon Cemetery Association Board, and these reappointments, Patty Haar to the Low Point Street Lighting District Board, Audrey Brown and Michelle Wagner to the Oak Ridge Sanitary District Board. And here's a story headlined, Special Olympics Games Back in Bloomington Normal, by Olivia Jacobs. Normal. Special Olympics Illinois will host the 2025 Summer Games, the organization's largest sporting event, this weekend in Bloomington Normal. More than 3,600 athletes and unified partners will be in the area to participate in the games that start Friday morning and continue all day Saturday. They will be accompanied by 1,250 coaches, 1,200 volunteers, and 10,000 families and friends, according to a news release from the Special Olympics. Events will be held at Illinois State University and other local schools and venues. The Friday schedule is as follows. Athlete competition. Artistic gymnastics, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Grossinger Motors Arena. Athletics, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at ISU. Bocce, 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at ISU Soccer Stadium. Soccer, 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at ISU Intramural Fields. Health and Wellness. Healthy Athletes Screenings, noon to 4 p.m. at CEFQ Arena. Young Athletes Program. Young Athletes Event, 2 to 4 p.m. at Hancock Stadium. Fan and Family Experience. Families Fan Zone, 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Horton Fieldhouse. Family Tailgate Picnic, 5 to 7 p.m. at Hancock Stadium. Signature Moments. Final leg of the Law Enforcement Torch Run, 7:30 p.m. from the shops at College Hills to Hancock Stadium. Opening Ceremony, 8 to 10 p.m. at Hancock Stadium. The Saturday schedule is as follows. Athlete Competition. Rhythmic Gymnastics, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Normal Community High School. Soccer, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at ISU Intramural Fields. Artistic Gymnastics, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Grossinger Motors Arena. Athletics, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at ISU Campus. Bocce, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at ISU Soccer Stadium. Powerlifting, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Kingsley Junior High School. Swimming, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Normal Community High School. Health and Wellness. Healthy Athletes Screenings, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at CEFQ Arena. Fan and Interactive Experiences. Olympic Town, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Turner Hall parking lot. Esports, 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Olympic Town. Celebration Moment. Victory Dance, 7 to 8:30 p.m. in Uptown Normal. In preparation for the annual Victory Dance celebration, select streets in Uptown Normal will be marked no parking starting at 2 p.m. Saturday and closed at 4 p.m. This includes North Street between Fell Street and Uptown Circle and the intersection of Broadway Avenue and North Street between the alley south of North Street and the post office. The streets are expected to reopen to traffic at 10 p.m. following the event. A map spotlight of the closures can be viewed at arcg.is/LJIN(LC)W1. Drivers should be cautious while traveling through these areas. Call 309-454-9580 for more information. The next local story is headlined, Budzinski Possible Gunman Target, by Brendan Moore. Springfield. U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski's name was among those in the notes of the gunman suspected in the targeted shooting of two Minnesota state lawmakers and their spouses, she confirmed on Tuesday. Vance Bolter, 57, was charged with federal murder and stalking, along with state charges, following a nearly two-day search that culminated with his capture in the woods near his home, authorities said. He is accused of shooting and killing Democratic House Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark early Saturday morning. He is also accused of shooting Democratic State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette, who are recovering from their injuries. In a social media post, Budzinski, a Democrat from Springfield who represents the 13th Congressional District, said that she was informed by Capitol Police on Sunday that her name was among the dozens of Minnesota state and federal elected officials in Bolter's writings. I want to again send my condolences to the family of Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, Budzinski said. I will continue to keep them, as well as State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette, in my prayers. My deepest sympathies go out to their families, friends, and the entire Minnesota community. And here's a story entitled Raider Family Farms 2025 Corn Maze to Celebrate 100 Years of Country Financial by Drew Zimmerman. Normal. In honor of Country Financial's 100th anniversary, Raider Family Farms Corn Maze for the 2025 fall season will celebrate the insurance company's milestone. A ribbon cutting for the maze will take place at 10 a.m. September 9th, prior to the farm's official opening on September 13th. We're excited to partner with Raider Family Farms for this unique opportunity to honor our agricultural beginnings and to celebrate our 100th anniversary with the community, Jim Jacobs, CEO of Country Financial, said in a news release. Although it was started by a group of farmers providing fire and lightning insurance, Country Financial now serves about 1 million clients in 19 states. Like Country Financial, we believe in investing in families, honoring our agricultural heritage, and providing spaces for people to grow, connect, and create lasting memories, Adam Raider, operations manager for Raider Family Farms, said in a news release. We're honored to celebrate a company that helps families experience more of what life has to offer. The farm will be open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, as well as on Columbus Day through November 1st. In addition to the corn maze, Raider Family Farms offer a variety of attractions, including an apple orchard, curated retail market, and food venues such as the Harvest Brew Coffee Shop. For more information, visit RaiderFamilyFarms.com. And here's another Raider Farms story entitled Baby Animal Days at Raider Farms by Olivia Jacobs. Normal. Raider Family Farms, 1312 Rop Road in Normal, will host Baby Animal Days from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, June 21st. The event will feature baby goats and hands-on farm experiences. Attendees will be able to meet many of the farm's resident VIPs, including Highland cows Punkin and Gordon, alpacas Rudy and Buster, Arabian horse Chaya, pony Snowy, a playful donkey herd, rabbits, and assorted fowl, according to a news release. A Jersey calf from Rop Dairy Farm will also make its public debut, as well as Nigerian dwarf goat kids in the cuddle pen. Tickets are $12 for ages 3 and up, $10 for 65 and up, and free for 2 and under. McLean County Animal Control and Wishbone Canine Rescue will be on site with adoptable kittens and puppies, and officers from the Bloomington Normal Police Departments will be in attendance for meet and greets. Attendees will have the first opportunity to try the Bee Line Zipper, which is Raider's new low ropes zip line challenge and is included with admission, the news release said. Carrie Vogel from McLean County Ag in the Classroom will also lead interactive stations for kids and families to explore the importance of local farming. Additionally, there will be a family-friendly scavenger hunt. Those who complete it will receive a free ice cream cone from Chick-fil-A. Guests can also enjoy Raider's food and drink options, including hot dogs, bratwursts, walking tacos, pizza, funnel cakes, and strawberry lemonade slush. Or they can visit the Harvest Brew Coffee Shop, Raider's on-site bakery, or the retail market. And here's a story about yesterday's weather, headlined EMA, no major damage reported after thunderstorms moved through McLean County, by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. McLean County saw some flooding and high winds when a storm moved through the area Wednesday, but no significant damage was immediately reported, despite confirmation that tornadoes had touched down nearby in the afternoon. We don't have reports of a lot of damage at this point. We're not sure. We haven't gotten reports from McLean County Emergency Management, said James Auten, a meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Lincoln. We've heard some, but there's a lot in Jacksonville and eastern Illinois. Auten confirmed the local weather office had reports of tornadoes touching down near McLean County, but he noted the meteorologists still had a lot of data to go through late Wednesday afternoon. He said they planned to survey the area after the storm had passed. A train spotter reported a tornado on the ground near Mackinac around 2 p.m., and a storm chaser reported seeing a funnel cloud in Bellflower at 2:25 p.m., according to the National Weather Service storm report. About 3 p.m., the National Weather Service reported just over 1 inch of rainfall in Bloomington. Kathy Beck, director of the McLean County Emergency Management Agency, said her office had not received any reports of damage in McLean County as of 3:37 p.m., but there were damage reports in DeWitt County. Sergeants from Bloomington and Normal Police Departments also said their agencies had not received any reports of weather-related incidents by late Wednesday afternoon. So far, so good, said Sergeant Scott Pusateri with Normal Police. However, Pub 2 at 102 North Linden Street in Uptown Normal experienced some flooding during lunch service in the early afternoon that started in a back room and made its way to the dining room. But that didn't interrupt business, manager Jeff Jones told the Pantograph. He said the staff was still able to serve cheeseburgers and their signature cheese balls through the weather. It was just a fun little hour. We mopped it all up, the sum came out, and it was fine. All hands were on deck, and we all got through it together, he said. It was a pretty fun afternoon. We didn't miss a beat. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for June 19th. Please stay tuned.